All right, 11 o'clock hour. Feeling good on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Thanks again to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, for joining us. Who knows? Maybe in studio next week. Cross our fingers on that one. And at least we found out that he's not bad luck for the Chiefs. So I was a little worried when he said he went to the AFC title game that they lost. It sounds like that's not the case. They're 1-0 when he goes, so I think he's welcomed at Arrowhead. I'm guessing he'll be nice and toasty and in some good seats.
I would hope so. And if not, he is. I mean, I've seen him in like cold weather gear in a Jets game, so I know that he's willing to dress up warm in order to do it.
My guess is he'll be with some teammates.
I didn't ask him. Did he renew his Jet season tickets this year?
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know. Maybe
he's still a Jets fan.
Oh, I get it, but maybe it's just not.
He's like Aaron Rodgers. He's waiting to see who the head coach and GM are going to be and quarterback, and then he'll make his decision.
I mean, if I were him, I'd probably keep him because you already paid that PSL. Imagine I'm on those keys now.
That stadium definitely has PSLs.
He told you not to look in his pockets. Don't you worry about my pockets.
That was about the Star Wars.
Yeah, the Star Wars
lightsabers. That was funny.
I think he can afford it, to be clear. Yeah. But
I was like, hey, did you buy those lights? I know they're expensive, but did you buy them? I figured you could afford it.
If you missed that, we'll give you back part of that later. Plus, just as long as it's not blocked, noon hour. You think for the song?
Sure. I'm not against this one today. Here's the key. The reason why it's been a while, instead of like every week, it's been 4 months.
Yeah, I've waited a little while.
And this one's about the refs, and I'm all aboard the screw you, embrace the hate, Chiefs derangement syndrome stuff. So far, the block has not come through.
Okay.
The person definitely knows the song is today, definitely knows you have a song. They have not said the block it yet.
Okay, great. Well, at least they know. They have the basis of the pass.
Anyway, our championship coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. The weird thing out of the win, I honestly think one of the weirdest things out of the win on Saturday night for the Chiefs was that only one wide receiver had a catch. Now, Travis Kelce, as a tight end, we know he essentially is a wide receiver for this team. He had over 115 yards receiving, 117. But Xavier Worthy was the only Chiefs wide receiver to get a catch in the game, which is just a crazy way to go about a playoff.
Win,
and
too.
It's not like they ran the ball for 150 yards or something.
Their rookie
wide
receiver was the only one with a catch in the game at wide receiver.
I think we all would be surprised and doubt that that happens again on Sunday night against the Buffalo Bills. I don't think it can if they're going to win.
Sure.
They will have to spread the ball around more and have more success in multiple areas to win the game. But what was promising out of that development was we, for the first time, saw Xavier Worthy catch a true 50-50 ball. Was able to track the ball
catch
in the air, was able to adjust. That's the best catch he's had of the season.
It was a
better
pro,
I would argue for the Chiefs this year, it's one of the three best catches of the entire season.
D-Hop's got one or two of those over the course of the year of ludicrous nature. It was so before we get to the other wide receivers, I don't want to make this seem like it's objectively a bad thing that Xavier Worthy is the only wide receiver who caught a pass, because what this tells us is the answer I didn't have before. The question I had before, Gold, was, is Xavier Worthy a bigger performer in the postseason, or is he not? Questions I don't think you could ever know about a player until you get to the postseason. Plenty of guys shrink up in the moment, even if they are really, really, really good regular season players. But in this case, Xavier Worthy was their single best wide receiver by a mile. And so I take that as a positive. It was weird that DeAndre Hopkins didn't play at all and that Hollywood Brown was unable to get a single catch. But maybe that was just avoiding Derek Stingley. Can I just chalk it up to matchup based stuff? And they were just Derek Stingley spent more time on Hollywood Brown, so that made it harder to cover him.
I think a lot of it was the defensive front for Houston in particular. The defensive front was able to kind of beat up on the left side of the Chiefs offensive line. We know the Chiefs have been getting the ball out very quickly. They didn't have time for routes to develop. That's an adjustment they're going to have to make. But it's a great thing long term for Xavier Worthy. But I think we're all being honest with ourselves. As much as it was awesome to see Travis Kelce go off,
you're not going to
win an AFC title game probably with only Xavier Worthy and Kelce being the two weapons in the entire game.
They were just really good in the short passing game. The Texans made it kind of impossible to do anything close to the line of scrimmage, which is how the Chiefs have operated their offense here lately and consistently. And look, 5 for 45 is not some written number. I will say, can we please get rid of the play call that is handing the ball off to Xavier Worthy inside the 15? Can we stop with that nonsense?
In fairness, in week one.
And just run a normal play? I don't know.
In fairness, in week one, I led to a touchdown.
But wasn't that like more like the 30? Maybe that was the 15.
It was like a 20-yard run, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking it was further out. A little further out, I actually don't have an issue with it. But they always talk about like how it's harder to score in the red zone because the whole field is shrunk. And now you want to start a play 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage? That seems like a dangerous way to go about trying to get into the end zone.
Remember, the first time they played the Bills in Week 11, there was no Hollywood Brown, there was no DeAndre Hopkins. I will be stunned if Andy Reid doesn't have something schemed up for them to take advantage of that. And Buffalo's not stupid. Like, I don't think Buffalo's going to leave the middle of the field wide open for Travis Kelce. They're gonna make some of these other guys beat them. It's not that Kelce can't go off even with that happening, but I don't think you'll see the open space. I mean, there was nobody within 10-plus yards, 15 yards of Travis Kelce on two different catches in particular. It was unbelievable. I don't know what the hell was going on for the Texans defensively, fortunately.
I think that
they
weren't focused on Travis as being the number one guy to shut down. I think that was fairly obvious. I think they had played him in the week before. They lulled him to sleep because he had like 3 for 30 yards in a game that they lost. And like, all right, Travis is whatever, and we'll guard him, but we're not going to guard him like 29-year-old Travis. I think they went into a game with a bad plan against Travis Kelce, and they found out how bad he can still burn you. He's one of the all-time leading receivers in NFL playoff history. Number one in catches, number two in yards, and number two in touchdowns. So, like, I'd probably just guard him till he retired. But I think that they probably took it easy. Buffalo won't make that same mistake. They'll need their receivers more in this Buffalo game.
It sounded like Mina Kimes thought it was actually Andy Reid whose game plan was, we're not even going to go after Singley or Lesser at all. We're just going to go to Travis Kelce and we'll see if they can handle it. And they did. They just couldn't hang. I mean, there were multiple moments. We even talked about it yesterday a little bit. But when they would go zone, Travis Kelce's so good at finding the little pocket in the zone anyways. But Al-Shaair looked lost on multiple occasions where the one play, he throws it deep to Hollywood, the one target he had, he drops it, play was made, whatever, very next one. Travis Kelce is, nobody was in 8 yards of him.
Man, that pass to Hollywood. Whew. That was a good one, too.
It was,
that ball should have been caught. That was a great pass.
Thought he had it. I really did.
They went to Kelce the next play, who had that, like,
49-yard run.
So, like, it didn't end up mattering for the game purposes, other than Mahomes bounce back quickly, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, especially if you were the Texans, I mean, things happen.
Plenty of guys shrink up in the moment. That's an unfortunate one.
Caught on that one right away on the text line. Also, I have bad news for you.
What?
I don't know how you got to negotiate. I'm not going to negotiate.
Wait, what happened?
You have to negotiate. Have you seen the text line?
No. Oh.
I also got a DM from,
he wants to block the
from
song?
True Green Thumb, which is the rightful owner of From
he
the Garage Sale,
his
Block
money.
A song from Cody.
He was hammering the block button.
He said, I want to block the song. Block, block, block. This isn't me. You negotiate what? With him. So you negotiate with him. The block's the block right now.
Can we reconfirm? No. What are the rules of the block? It can't air today.
No, it was any. Hold on, I thought.
So it can't air any day.
There's confusion.
This song
cannot air ever. Correct.
This song.
But can it air? The only thing that
this
I was confused
song,
on that I don't remember
song
is
cannot air.
Can I still put it on social?
That's not. That's
or
not
is
on
it
the
just
show.
Goes into okay. That's not on the show. So social is still fair game. But God, I can't ever air it on the show. Damn. You sure, True Green Thumb? There could be another song that you hate even more.
This one I'm not against, I'll be honest, because it at least involves the refs and we haven't had one in a while.
What if, and just hear me out, since I know he's listening, I send you the song and you don't make this decision rashly and you listen to the song first before you make your decision. I honor the fact that he paid good money to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in order to have the block. I'm not going to just like, press space.
He's been patient with it too.
He has been patient. He's had
patient.
Opportunities.
Isn't that why he blocked the song in the first place? So he didn't have to hear it. So if he listens to the song first, then it doesn't matter.
That's a great point. He can't avoid it in that scenario, but he might be like, maybe he was
in
doing
fairness.
It as like a philanthropic effort. He was saving others from the song.
Very, very kind.
All right. So we have our first real, block of the year. I would say, you know, this is
that
the first
hurts.
Time he's actually used the pass. Text line says the block is deserved.
Why? What do you got against it?
Someone says, dude, blocking a song, True Green Thumb, during a playoff run is bold. We'll be blamed if KC loses, while Cody will be blamed if the song airs.
I was going to say, is there any way that there's blame given out to either
this
you
hurts.
Or True Green Thumb in this case where if you play it...
I think a block is a block, but
so
I don't
right
know.
Now,
so
the only
I.
There are two people on this planet who have heard this song. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not even my wife. I don't think she's listened to it yet. Vinny Pasquantino, who I sent it to one more time in an effort to try to get him to record his part. It did not take. Yeah. And so he's heard it. And Joe Summers, who originally gave me this song, is inspiration for what the song could be. So there's two people in this entire planet who have heard this song. So text now I got to decide whether to release it on social or
split.
Just like it just goes into the ether and nobody ever hears it.
It is very mixed.
The text line is split right now because he's saying, hey, if I don't block this one, then win. You always have an excuse. The next song's a great one, too.
It's true.
The guy's in a tough spot. I do think
he's in a tough spot.
There's some
argue.
Danger here blocking it during a middle of a playoff run. And I think universally, true green thumb, everybody in Kansas City is behind how ridiculous this riff crap is from media outside of Kansas City and fans. This is one of those we're all on the same page. You know what I mean? Like, that's the danger with this one.
Someone said you got Leo'd. You got Chanel'd.
Man, that's tough.
Wow. Someone says the block is legal. Doesn't mean you can't redo it with a different
song.
So
I got to and this is always the thing about the block that hurts, hours of my life working on this, right? It doesn't, like, I wrote the lyrics, I had to perform them, then rewrite, then come in here and perform, then see, and then edit it. Like, it takes time. I'm going to do a whole nother song? Oh, man. Damn.
Now people are taking shots at Drew. I mean, the text line's going crazy over this now. All of a sudden.
Someone wants to donate money to block me for a day.
Wow.
It's out of pocket.
Wow. Damn, what the hell?
Hold on. I will say this, though. If the thing, though, is that if you block me, theoretically speaking, the next day I would just be relentless.
Yeah. Someone did say, like, now that that's blocked, you just got to write next tomorrow, just have a diss track about him.
Look, I'm not the one blocking this one, man.
You didn't do it.
I'm not the one blocking this. The person has had a pass.
I respect that they paid money as part of the Cody and Gold garage sale, that was an available thing. The custom song aired. He is allowed to block a song.
There's a lot of people just saying, hey, we have a bad reputation all of a sudden of allowing you to get out of, like, negotiating bets and now blocks that we need to stick.
So I guess look on my personal, can't even go to the station social media page. I mean, that's too connected to the
show. You got out of the strip club bit as well. That was,
Now I got to make a decision on whether or not I think it's fair to put it on personal social page.
Yeah, see, we were planning on playing this in the noon hour.
In the air.
So we'll give it till 12:10 for True Green Thumb to maybe come back with an offer. Otherwise, I think it has to hold.
Yeah,
I think it has to hold.
Again, he paid for it. I respect it. If it doesn't air, it doesn't air.
Wow.
That's what it is. I'll just soak it in a little bit. I get what he's saying. He wants to hold me to my word. Yep. Also, I didn't put a block in the Good and Go garage on myself. That was Alex.
Well, the minute you put a custom song for you, I'm like, oh, well, we have to appease both
and
sides.
And I valued
here.
It at like $1 million or something, and then you valued yours at $1 million more or whatever. Mm. Smart. Okay. Well, let's talk about some other things that are going on with the Chiefs. They've got the Bills coming up on Sunday for what is yet another huge game between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. This has hung over the Chiefs a lot. So I guess part of it is like, it's like describing a problem that is real, but is it real enough that it will stop them from going to the Super Bowl? The things I always discuss with the Chiefs, and I think it's important to discuss here, is will this be the reason they don't go to the Super Bowl? The red zone effort on Sunday or Saturday, I apologize, against the Texans was abysmal. The first two drives inside the 15, one of which you were gifted on a bad kick return coverage, and not gifted, like you earn it, but you understand, good field position. They went six plays for negative 11 yards and settled for two field goals. They didn't even give themselves a choice to go for fourth down, like we were talking about in the aggressiveness earlier. That's a whole nother problem. And so if that's the case, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about the red zone stuff. I will say they scored on five of their seven total drives. Some of this is just a numbers game. They didn't get a lot of trips in general. But the red zone, once again, seems like it's flaring up. It's the cute stuff for me. Like the word, it's like, just play some normal function of your offense.
I think it's part of it, but they've had the ebbs and flows of this throughout the season too, where they've had stretches where all of a sudden the red zone issues are solved. I think we all recognize, again, against a team like Buffalo, going to have to be better than that out of the gate. I also think a discussion we're going to get into during the Chiefs Red Half Hour about running backs plays a role here. We're going to talk about Pacheco and Hunt. I think in the red zone, there's one running back that should be getting the touches, period. And we'll discuss that. But that's part of my answer kind of to your talking about how concerned should we be. Red zone issues and what's going on there. I think using the correct back in the red zone would also alleviate some of this. The first drive of the game, the negative 11 yards over six plays in the red zone that you referenced, the first two drives, I should say. Out of the eight plays to begin the game, I want to say Pacheco had four of the touches. And this is not a knock on him. He's been incredible. But he's not their
backwards.
He's not their best option right now.
He's actually
in the goal line red zone area.
Part of it is because he's not as good. Like I think that they both possess talent in different ways. And we can talk more about the running backs here in a minute, but The problem with Pacheco is that he's not good avoiding the negative run. He gets in negative yardage situations more than Kareem. And when you're talking about a red zone that is 15 yards gold, we have to be very, very, very careful about how many times you can take steps back in order to get there in the other level. And so, yeah, I don't think the red zone stuff is nothing, right? I don't think it should just be ignored. Because the other part about this is you can kick three field goals against the Houston Texans and win comfortably like they did. You and I both know, Gold, that is not the case with the Buffalo Bills. They are going to score between 24 and 30 points, in my opinion. Like, I think that that's probably the range for Buffalo. So if you're thinking you're settling for three field goals down there, are you getting three more touchdowns to go with it? No, you probably need to get in the end zone an additional time. Not every red zone trip, not every trip down to the scoring area has to end in not a field goal, but more than did against the Texans have to end up in a score. And I think some of it is like the run stuff, the run wide receiver stuff that gets me. Like, and I'm not saying they just have to be like, they're not Derrick Henry. They don't have to just run it up the middle and hope. But I just feel like that's where like DeAndre Hopkins, who is a contested catch guy, or Travis Kelce, who moves great in space. And like, I feel like they're always trying to get to the outside rather than try to work with some of the guys who I think can handle contested catches.
So the Chiefs were overall, what, 24th in the league, it looks like, this year in red zone touchdown percentage. Buffalo, second best in the entire league. 68% of the time they score touchdowns. They also, that's where Josh Allen and his run game and the tush push that they do and everything comes into play. But they were the second best team. They beat the best team in the red zone this past week, Baltimore. Baltimore was the number one team in the red zone with Derrick Henry and Lamar, 74%. Buffalo 68%. You got to go all the way to 24 where the Chiefs are, 52% in the red zone touchdown percentage. Of the remaining teams in the postseason,
they're the worst, probably.
Buffalo, I mentioned, was second. Let's see where Philadelphia was 21st. Washington was 6th, and then the Chiefs were 24th. Yeah, so they were definitely the worst.
I mean, it's been a consistent problem, but some of that is what we just discussed. Some of those touchdowns are because, you know, they're getting it 50% of the time, like if you're Washington's case, by going for it. And some of it is because Kansas City knows a lot of games they can win with field goals. I just don't think they can win this game with field goals.
Same thing applies to Buffalo, too, though.
Yeah, like, sure.
I think it applies to them. Now, they have the numbers to back up that they're converting. But I would say that's the same thing in any big-time football game. I mean, on the NFC side, Commanders and Eagles, neither one of them can settle for field goals. I mean, I think when you get to games like this, you have to understand you settle for field goals. There's a risk that you missed your opportunity.
Yeah, I think so. And, like, I understand it, but Buffalo's been better at it in the red zone and goes for it more in the red zone. So, like, they're just better at it. Kansas City in this last game is frustrating because, like, the frustrating part is moving backwards.
Yeah,
not even, like, getting closer to the goal line so you can, like, make a decision. They're moving backwards.
That's where there's no way to, like, prove it one way or the other. The first two drives, was that rust or was that just what they were? I don't know, right?
First
two drives were rusty, and they had negative 11 yards in the sixth place. All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to this. Takes us down south to Mobile, Alabama. When's the last time you went drive-through coffee or something? Either of you? You guys get a like, drive-through coffee or something?
It's been a long time.
It's freezing outside. I'm guessing Starbucks or Scooters or anywhere was packed today.
Yeah, the coffee shop right around the one I pass on my way. Mm-hmm. Long line.
I bring it up because there was a Starbucks down outside of southwest of Mobile, Alabama, in a town called Tillman, where an employee had to get stitches and vaccinations. Yeah, stitches and vaccinations.
Okay.
That's because a customer brought a pet monkey through the drive-thru line, leaped into the service window, runs up the employee's arm to her head, bites the barista at Starbucks. How do they end the attack? A coworker grabs the monkey and threw the monkey out the drive-thru window. And
how am I going to get bitten by a monkey in a drive-thru?
Well, the customer and the monkey left the establishment by the time police arrived. He and the health department was notified of the animal bite. The owner of the animal could face charges. The employee the monkey attacked, who asked that she remain unnamed, sustained bite marks to her hands, a laceration to her ear, which required stitches. She shared images of the injuries and showed where her ear had an issue. She said, quote, I was working in the drive-thru when the lady came through with two monkeys in the car.
Oh.
She had never interacted with her before and had her drink ready. They pulled up to the window. As soon as she rolls down the window, her window, the monkey jumped out and attacked her. Not expecting that if you're working the drive-thru, that a monkey's flying out the window immediately. What are you taking? Look, if you're going
to
you're gonna
you
own a monkey.
You can't just be taking your monkey to the coffee shop if you're just going back home. Nope. Are you guys going somewhere together? Can they get, like, car seats like kids? Should they be in, like, a car seat or something? Can you put a monkey in a car seat? I don't know, man. I've never owned a monkey. I don't have any idea.
I mean, yesterday we were talking about movies involving animals and how that's the podcast Drew should do. There's been. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, was it Dunstan Checks In? That's what I'm thinking of right here.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic one.
Monkey Trouble. I mean, there's a lot of them. You know?
Drew has no idea what Dunstan Checks In is.
That's a 90s one, Drew.
That's a 90s Disney movie where a kid hides an orangutan in a hotel he is at.
1996.
I was 1 year old.
Jason Alexander was in that.
You must have catched it on, like, the TV.
Yeah,
I
was
Disney,
five when it came out, so I didn't
caught that one in theaters, old Dunstan Checks In.
Dunstan Checks In.
It almost sounds like, this story sounds like something that would happen, that would come out of a movie, for sure. Like, you almost unbelievable.
The idea of, like, just you're getting your coffee, or, like, you're working at a coffee shop, and all of a sudden you're, like, rolling your wheel, like, all right, here's your non-fat, you know, cafe latte, and they're just like, and then a monkey is attacking you, you're like, what the hell is happening? I'm going home that day, by the way. My general stance is like, if something like that, that's it. That's it for me today.
You can probably sue the person, don't you think?
I think absolutely you can. Imagine Starbucks has got a security camera near their window, don't you think?
I mean, definitely get the medical bills paid for.
Or if they paid with their card, it's not going to be hard to find out the person whose card they used. I think you could sue the person. Your monkey attacked them. They weren't doing it.
It's no different than somebody's dog breaking out of their fence, right?
Yeah.
And attacking you while you're walking down the street.
That's why you got to put those, like, beware of dog signs on, you know.
Your day.
Yeah, they're going to put the sticker, beware of the monkey on board, by the way. This is a...
Beware of monkey. I'd be like, okay.
This was in Alabama, not Florida. I know.
Oh. Shocking. Close enough, I guess.
Close. You said close enough.
Well. Someone said they said in Alabama.
Like outside of Mobile, Alabama.
I mean, we're close. Mobile, Alabama is maybe a 2.5-hour drive from Pensacola, Florida. It's pretty close.
Someone is Pensacola right on the border?
Yeah, you're a half-hour drive from Alabama if you live in Pensacola.
Okay. Someone on the text line, 913-586-7965, said they've been at a Sam's Club with two monkeys, saw somebody with two monkeys in a stroller with a net over it.
You can't be bringing your monkeys to food establishment.
Hold on, here?
That's what they said.
I saw... The Target in Legends. I saw a monkey in a stroller.
No.
Dead serious.
Wait, you're just mentioning this now after all this monkey talk?
No. I think this came up before on the show one time.
Oh, okay.
I saw there was a stroller that had a monkey inside of it at a Target, not by me. Dead serious.
What, with a diaper on too?
I don't know. You couldn't tell behind the netting, I guess, but I almost had to do a double take. Mm. It was
maybe it's a potty trained monkey, man.
Oh.
What? Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem out of the question.
How do you potty train a monkey?
Is that actually possible?
It's hard enough to figure it out with kids.
This is like the movie now. That's the trash of the day. Up next, we alluded to a little bit during the red zone conversation, but I think we need to talk about Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco and what was very evident on Saturday evening out at Arrowhead. That's coming up next on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Staffland's host service text line, 913-586-7965. In the 1 o'clock hour today, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, will join us in studio. We'll get his thoughts on another Chiefs-Bills AFC title game matchup and what the latest might be on any other changes that we could see. It seems like they got out of the game pretty healthy, though. So, and I don't think this week we're going to have to spend any time talking about left tackle in terms. Not that Joe Tooney was great, but just I think they told us what they're doing, and there's no switching back. He's the guy at left tackle the rest of the way. Maybe we'll ask Nate though about the guard spot. I thought was interesting with the inactive list where Kingsley was active, but Wadia wasn't, which I think tells us perhaps about the future a little bit.
Could.
That maybe they view Kingsley as the eventual Trey Smith or Joe Tooney replacement at guard more than anything else. So those are the kind of things we can get Nate Taylor's perspective on. Officially, I will say, it came in from the individual that has the song pass from the Cody Gold garage sale.
He sent you the pass?
He sent it. He says no negotiation.
No negotiation. Blocked. So he wouldn't take $100 for the pass.
Cody.
I couldn't buy it back.
Cody. He said it's blocked. No negotiation. God. That comes directly from True Green Thumb, who has the pass. I'm just following the protocol, okay?
I want it to be very clear.
Someone says, remember, though, True Green Thumb, we all know the name now. If the Chiefs lose, people are blaming you. That's from the text line. He can live with that, though.
That's a lot of pressure.
I made the song because of the refs. You know why I thought the song wouldn't get blocked?
I would have liked it.
I thought we were all on the same page that people are in this mass delusion.
He doesn't want to hear you sing, though.
Okay, well, that's fine. And can I ask one more question to True Green Thumb? If I had convinced Vinny Pasquantino to be to do a verse in the song like I had hoped, if Vinny was in the song, would he have blocked it? Because that was also part of the reason I was advocating for the cameo, is I thought the likelihood of it not getting blocked, because I knew that block was hanging over my head.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if I got Vinny on, there's no way he could block it. He can't block Vinny.
Well, I'm just telling you what happened, man. You know? Just telling you what happened. So that's the latest on that, for those wondering. 913-586-7965. All right, I want to talk about the running backs, because I think it did go hand-in-hand with our red zone conversation. And it's tough because Isaiah Pacheco is a fan favorite and has been really effective in his career with the Chiefs. He unfortunately early on suffered that ankle injury and battled back, and maybe that's what we're still talking about here. But I think it's very evident right now when it comes to short yardage situations, Kareem Hunt is the more effective back. I'm not saying Kareem Hunt should be getting 90% of the touches. That's not what I'm saying at all. I think the majority of the touches, it should
60,
be flipped.
40,
flip it backwards.
70, 30, whatever.
It started with Pacheco in the game. I think Kareem Hunt should get the first crack at it in the game Sunday night. Whereas out of the first 6, 7, 8 plays, Pacheco had 4 of the touches. I think it should be reversed. That's all I'm advocating for. And I know the numbers are out there. I think they're a little misleading. You can break it down over the last 6 games since Pacheco returned. I think Carrington put the numbers out.
They're like heat, right?
Pacheco has 54 carries and 193 yards, no touchdowns. Hunt has 53 carries, 195 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So almost identical numbers, but the 3 touchdowns. I think in crucial spots, though, who got the carry on the 4th-and-1? Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt.
He's the more effective short yardage back. His vision is better when the offensive line maybe isn't the best and there's not a clear hole to go through. So I think Isaiah Pacheco, unfortunately, at this point, it should be a carry split, but it needs to be 60-40 the other way. 60-40 in favor of Kareem Hunt, not Isaiah Pacheco.
This isn't even meant to be in like the long-term nature of things, but this is probably just where we built someone up higher than what they were. Isaiah Pacheco is a perfectly good NFL running back. Kareem Hunt at his peak was a top 5 running back in the NFL. And I think what you see in these short yardage, there's not a lot of room to go situations, that's when you notice.
He looked fresh,
you
too.
See the vision. You see the movement inside the pocket. You see, you know, like, you actually see, you're like, oh, yeah, that's why at his peak powers, he was one of the single best running backs in the NFL. And then, obviously, got himself in trouble. Nobody to blame but himself. Everything else that kind of came after that stuff and so on and so on. But we understand, Gold, why at the time Kareem Hunt is still the peak. And right now, because the offensive line is less good in the run blocking. For the same reasons they're less good in the pass blocking, because of the left tackle-related issues, they're not as good in the run game, which means they need someone to take 1 yard and turn it into 3 right now. If this were just a normal game with a healthy offensive line and one we could trust, I'd probably still be leaning towards Pacheco. But because of the nature of the setup of the offense, Kareem Hunt is the more productive back. When I think we watch in the important moments, I think he's better getting the end zone. He's better in short yardage, which is the time I need the running game if I'm in Kansas City.
Right. And I thought Kareem Hunt having an extra week off, it was huge for him. He looked fresh out there. And the numbers bared it out. I know the last 6 game numbers are very even. But last game, 8 carries for Hunt, 44 yards, 5.5 yards per carry, plus the key touchdown and a key 4th down conversion. Isaiah Pacheco, 5 carries, 18 yards, just didn't have much success. And you can say that's the front of the Texans, fine. I just think Kareem Hunt has shown that's the guy I trust the most right now.
Isn't it weird, though? I think in a way, the running style for Isaiah Pacheco would maybe tell you, if you need a yard, you give it to Pacheco, and he's just going to run downhill, and he's going to get you that yard, where I think the vision point is a good one, where that's kind of just what Pacheco has done. Is not that he doesn't have good vision, but he is a 100 miles an hour downhill. Just give me the ball and I'm going to run you over. Where him not being able to get the yard is interesting, where Kareem Hunt has the shiftiness enough to avoid a tackle or to I don't know if it's body control. That might be some of it, too, where he knows how to utilize contact to still manage to get a yard or to get a couple more yards extra where you end up with the 5.5 yards per carry average or whatever it was.
I just think he did, yeah, I think some of it is like Kareem stopped, like it looked like it was obviously Pacheco's job at the end because Kareem was cashed. He's, by running back standards, quite old. And, like, I know he's not as a real person and everything else. I get it. He's quite a bit younger than me, I'm sure. I don't know his exact age, but I'm sure he's quite a bit younger than me.
Yeah, he's old and washed up, Cody.
But it's like, it's just, he's 29. That's a million years old at running back.
He's
I'm
my
sorry.
Age, yeah.
That's a, like, a quarterback at Patrick Mahomes' age, not a million years old. At running back, that is, you have been in the league a while. He openly admitted that his body was starting to feel it, and now he feels good because he got a month off of football like everyone else. And so, yeah. Kareem Hunt is fresh and appears to be the better back. What's funny is I thought at first when this started trickling in and everybody was watching the game and starting to feel the same thing, I think everyone collectively started to be like, they thought that they were going to have to like say something that people weren't agreeing with, like that saying Kareem Hunt deserved to be the number one back in a timeshare still with Isaiah Pacheco was going to be like heard poorly by Chiefs fans. And it turns out it's the opposite. I feel like anytime we float the idea of Kareem Hunt as the lead back, 90% of Chiefs fans kind of agree in that department now.
Yeah, and it's a credit to Kareem Hunt, but also I think we have to, the injury clearly has played a role here for Pacheco, and maybe that doesn't mean that next year heading into training camp and everything that he's not somebody that can have his role and be as effective again. But right now you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you're trying to three-peat, and he is not the best option at running back currently as it sits today. And in the offseason they'll have to make decisions anyway. Pacheco will be back. I'm not saying that. He's got another year on his contract. But will they draft another running back? I think they should in the draft next year or bring back somebody else. I know a lot of Chiefs fans will say just bring back Kareem Hunt. I think he's going to get more money than we think in the offseason from somebody despite his age. I don't think the Chiefs will necessarily be in that market.
I think he might be on still a one-year deal, so, but maybe not backup running back one-year deal here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I could see the Chiefs drafting a running back next year in, you know, fourth-plus round or something.
It's almost time where we have to have that honest conversation about Isaiah Pacheco, and it's not even his fault because, like you mentioned,
the way running backs work.
You like that, and also the fact that he got hurt, it might have escalated it or expedited that entire process of, because going into the season, the conversation from, or the thought from you, Gold, was this is probably the last year that we see of peak Isaiah Pacheco, like him being as good as he can be. Shortened season, of course, because of the injury, and we'll see where things go next year, I guess, maybe to confirm if that standpoint is true in regards to, he just isn't the same. But I think you're right in the fact that they're going to definitely look to bring in another running back in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they'll take another one in the fourth round this year.
I think we found you got to have two. You know. I mean, most teams, unless you have Derrick Henry.
And one can be random veteran, you know?
Yeah, unless it's Derrick Henry, and although they'll use Justice Hill too. And there's very few backs where Saquon Barkley, like, where you're just full go, that's McCaffrey, the guy all year. Yeah, I mean,
like
and
guys, maybe,
most teams
maybe
have a 1-2 punch or try to have a 1-2 punch. That's just where we're at in the NFL. So, yes, that's an offseason conversation, but they will need to have somebody else to complement Isaiah Pacheco or to supplant him or whatever they want to do in the offseason. I still think this injury is playing part of the role here and why Pacheco hasn't looked as effective. And then, yes, they don't have the all-pro playing left guard currently.
Yeah. I mean, again, and that's just part of the challenge that you have when you're maneuvering. It stinks that you had to maneuver in this way, I guess, right? Like, that you had to kind of go to this versus just have your left tackle and everything else could go that way, but it's fine. Just play it more. Everybody knows that this is what it should be now. I don't even think like they don't know that, because in the key running situations, they're still going to Kareem Hunt because he gives them the better chance to succeed. Pacheco could be healthy, fully healthy next year, and maybe still be right back to the lead back for Kansas City and have another year or two left on those legs before, you know, eventually running backs make it a challenge. And this is also, it stinks because you're just never going to get paid.
Someone said, well, you watch, now that everybody's being critical of him this week, Pacheco's going to go out and Pacheco's going to have the best.
We should all take his over.
Hey, that's fine. Watch, Pacheco has the best game he's had in, you know, 3 months or something. That's definitely happened in sports before, and I think we'll all take it, because if that happens, then the Chiefs are probably looking pretty good if he's that effective. But, yeah, that also is something to keep an eye on. But right now, I think we're all watching the same thing out there. Thinking of how the Chiefs could maybe handle things differently, I'm not that upset with how they've handled the fourth down situation in the playoffs. You think that Andy needs to kind of copy the aggression? I think he's done that in the postseason on fourth downs. We went through the numbers earlier. They actually convert the fifth best on fourth downs. Problem is they don't go for it all that often.
Yeah,
but
that's
it's just
part of it.
It's so hard to argue the aggressiveness on fourth down thing when this team has won like 17 straight one-score games, though. You know, so if there's any team that's shown they can win and they got the right balance of aggressiveness versus being conservative, et cetera, it's this franchise under this current regime. They've won more one score games, right, than anybody in the league.
They have
over the last 2 years.
And I understand, like, I really do get that you're like, well, I mean, they have success. They've won a ton of games. It has not generally been an issue for them to run into this. I get it. Like, I understand how you could come to that decision and all that, but like, it's been the biggest thing in the playoffs that I think I've noticed in watching all the games. You and I, we've all agreed, we've all watched at least a portion of every single NFL playoff game this, I think,
especially
I have.
The NFC side.
Sometimes I miss one here or there, but like, I think I've caught at least a portion of every single playoff game that has taken place in the NFL this year. Everyone took up their aggressiveness level like 20%, and they were already more aggressive than Andy. So look, I'll just take the 20% increase like everyone else. And he'll still be less aggressive than a lot of the coaches, but still get there where he needs to. Like, so we haven't talked about the national championship game last night, but like, I cannot, and I think Andy's smarter than this. Like, Marcus Freeman kicking that field goal in the last minute of that game is an egregiously cautious decision to
the point. Yeah, there was four.
It's
and
one
half
of the
for
worst
five.
Decisions I've ever seen.
No, there were like there were 9 minutes left in the game. It was
it wasn't even the last minute. There was a lot of time left in the game.
But still, you're down
goal.
By 16 at that point.
You're down 16. You've been down 30 the whole game.
Yeah, making a two score game.
But like, I've seen Andy in times like that just be like, well, I'll just take the field goal. I still got plenty of time left to get the ball back, get a stop, score on both of those, by the way, hypothetically, and be closer to scoring than the 5 yard line. And so everything else that comes into it, I don't want Andy to run into these situations. Field goals will not beat Buffalo. Maybe I'm wrong because last year's AFC title game was 17-10. Wasn't that the score last year?
I think that's right.
Yes. And they got in a knockdown drag out, and the Chiefs defense is playing really good again because Jalen Watson and the pass rush was obviously.
Man, they had the punch out from Snead at the goal line.
Yeah. Or it could have been more.
Mm-hmm.
I always worry. I always worry about Andy's aggressiveness in the postseason because in the regular season, it bothers me less because it costs them less. At worst, it costs him a regular season game, and typically it doesn't even cost him that. Like, and he has been more aggressive in the postseason, so I probably shouldn't get too far ahead. But still, you know, you're always looking for some level of increase because, I mean, look what it's done for the Commanders. It might be the single biggest reason why they're in the NFC title game is their success and willingness to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, but that's been them all year, though. I mean, this is not Dan Quinn just randomly did in the postseason. The Commanders have done this all year. That Dan Campbell got all the love and attention for it all year, but Dan Quinn has been doing it since week three of the season. They had a bad showing in week one, and ever since then, Jaden Daniels has continued to play better. He kind of had his coming out party on that primetime game in the first month and a half or so of the season. This is what the league is trending towards more and more is ultra aggressiveness. Brandon Staley was kind of the first guy to really do it. And then he botched it because then he overcorrected the opposite way. And then turned out, you know, just not maybe the best fit there out in LA. But Dan Campbell, Dan Quinn,
maybe didn't have the coach
these coaches are doing it more and more. And they're, you know, players love that style of play. It doesn't mean it's mistake free decision. Doesn't mean that it's going to work every single time. Of course not. The Lions got beat at their own game against the Commanders the other day.
I did think it was interesting that Vinny brought up that the offensive, the analyst in LA is the one who's in Washington as well. And, you know, I think some of it depends on the quarterback too. Where I think you, if you're Andy Reid, you understand where you're cautiously aggressive in a way, but also I think it helps where I know that Jaden Daniels is a really good quarterback, obviously, but there's a difference between Patrick Mahomes and Jaden Daniels. There's a difference between Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, where if you have the quarterback, you would think that maybe you're not as ultra aggressive as Washington is or as Detroit is, but you lean that way a little bit more because you have Patrick Mahomes.
It's been the opposite, though. I feel like Andy always takes that as like, we can figure it out a different way, you know? Like, well, if it comes down to it late, we'll solve the problem then and Mahomes will still come through. If being less aggressive now means with 2 minutes to go, we have to turn things over to Patrick Mahomes. Okay. I mean, we asked that question, Gold. Like, if he was in that same drive as Lamar Jackson, what percentage chance would you give him? Before the drive, someone was asking that and just said, what percentage chance would you give Mahomes to go down here and score a touchdown? I was like, I don't know, 80? 85?
In terms of comfort, like, level, at least to that.
You know, like, if you're, and I get it, kind of like in a weird way, that one makes a little sense. Cause, like, let's just say it is Goff. He's out of the playoffs, so we can use him as an example. you know, what percentage you give him to go the 80 yards and score the touchdown? Less, because you have less faith in your quarterback. So you always think you can get the points later. And if I'm Andy, I just don't know, man. This is also why they don't blow teams out. That's the truth. Is that if they wanted to just, like, go gung-ho right away all the time, they'd probably lose an extra regular season game, but they'd win a lot. They'd win by more. And Andy doesn't care about winning by more.
They were essentially 15-1 in the regular season, though. I know the final record says 15-2, but they were 15-1 when the starters were in. You know, and they've, I'll keep saying it, 16 or 17 one-score games. So it's hard for me to think, man, you know, you just, you know. No, they know how to win games and make the right decisions when it matters most, more than any other team in football over the last 2+ years.
I do think
that's just a fact.
I think so.
To your point, though, Cody, and it might just be me not like waiting on it to happen, but when is that going to run its course where, when you need to make a play, out of all these games, they've been so good at making the plays.
It's like an endless runway, apparently.
Is it going to run out where Andy could have been aggressive and you settled for a field goal, but it might literally cost you a game because you weren't aggressive enough? It hasn't come to that point.
Andy's lost games because I think of a lack of aggression.
But would there come to a point where you weren't aggressive and it actually came back to bite him, where it hasn't this season in particular? But, I mean, even going back to last year.
Man, it's tough. I mean, again, Gold, I'm not here to like send panic shivers down everyone's spine, because he certainly can win games with a limited amount of aggression. But I just feel like there is an ability to crank this up. And because it seems to be the theme of the weekend, you're not even like playing with your arms tied behind your back. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's agreed that we're going to go for every fourth down inside of 3 yards or 2 yards. Everyone is doing it. So like by doing it, you're just copying the same mechanism, and it's your job to be more successful in those plays, which doesn't seem crazy to me when you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid trying to figure those things out. To Vinny's point earlier, it does feel like the Commanders like have to get to fourth down in order to like feel the pressure to score. I don't know what it is. They get to fourth down because
we discussed earlier on their third down. If it's 3rd and 8, they're willing to call third down differently, knowing Cliff Kingsbury knows he's got the support of his head coach, Dan Quinn. One, he's just got his back if it doesn't work. But also, Cliff Kingsbury knows that they're going for fourth down. So he the way he goes about calling plays on third down is just different than how a play caller might call it if he knows that his coach tends to not go for fourth downs. There's something to be said for having that freedom and flexibility if you're Cliff Kingsbury. And based on their quarterback, I mean, a lot of these fourth downs have been Jaden Daniels strictly, right? You know what I mean? Whether it's design QB runs or whatever, a bootleg, like having that is a massive weapon. Other teams will do the tush push. They don't do that with Jaden Daniels a ton. What they do a lot is the misdirection almost, and where you know they have all the attention on one side, and then Jaden Daniels easily walks over to the sideline essentially for a first down.
I do think that there's like a missing part of the league that makes this kind of an interesting conversation that makes it tough is because of there's only like a very small selection of quarterbacks, active quarterbacks with a Super Bowl title. And a couple of them are just irrelevant, right? Like Russell Wilson, right? Irrelevant. He's not winning a Super Bowl.
Rodgers.
Irrelevant quarterbacks. They have a ring, but they're irrelevant. Pretty much every quarterback they faced the last like 3 years in the playoffs, these teams have nothing to lose. They have no Super Bowl titles. They are desperately trying to get over the hump. They have to act in some desperate way, because they got nothing to lose. Washington's got nothing to lose. Philly's got nothing to lose. Bills have nothing to lose. They got zero Super Bowl championships in their entire team's history. The Chiefs, they can play it close to the vest. They got 2 Super Bowl champions in the last 2 years. They got 3 in the last 5. They could get 4 in the last, you know, whatever. They don't have to play with that same level of like desperation or urgency as other teams, and so I think sometimes they don't, because every team they face in the playoffs is more desperate than them, because none of them have won anything in a very long time. Their quarterbacks only have MVPs or don't even have that, or don't have Super Bowls, because again, the very few active quarterbacks with Super Bowl rings are either not starters like Joe Flacco or irrelevant quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers. Look, Stafford might be the only one that counts as he was on a relevant team and is a starter and has a Super Bowl ring. Is that the only guy left in the NFL in the active that matters?
That has one, yeah.
Am I missing one? I can't think of one.
Oh, there's only a few anyway.
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers,
Matt
Stafford.
Tom Brady left them all.
Joe Flacco. Those are the only 4, right? And Mahomes, of course. But
I mean, there might be some other random guy. Foles isn't in the league anymore, right?
It doesn't matter.
I know. He's a backup. I'm just making sure. Okay.
He might be a backup. I don't know. Okay.
I couldn't remember. That's all.
Yeah, he wasn't on. Doesn't look like he was on anybody's team.
Okay, seemed like he could have still been floating around.
He hadn't played in 2 years.
Felt like he would have started
in Indianapolis
in
2022.
Okay, so he hadn't played in 2 years. He'd still probably be better than whoever Drew was trying to get to start for Indianapolis. Who is it? No,
he wants Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph.
Okay, for Tennessee.
I would say.
I was like, what was the team?
I think Nick Foles could do the job that Mason Rudolph has done.
Well, I think you do a better job.
We agree. Yeah. We were pushing back. You it's said just, that the Titans should start Mason Rudolph next year. We said absolutely
not. Yes.
That's all.
Yeah. Yes, they should.
All right, let's get to what's trending, and then we'll also discuss the latest in the coaching world. Ben Johnson lands with the Chicago Bears. What the heck are the Raiders going to do, and how it could impact the Chiefs? That's next.